I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. The United States will be pretty much running on fumes to pay its bills unless the debt limit is raised by August 2nd. That's the picture the White House is painting. Spokesman Jay Carney warned today that the U.S. will lose its borrowing authority without an increase in the debt ceiling. He urged Republicans and Democrats to come together now on an agreement, and if they don't, well, The World's Jason Margolis tells us about the implications of default on U.S. commitments to other nations.
The U.S. Treasury won't be able to pay all its bills if a debt ceiling agreement isn't reached. The question then would be, who gets paid first? The answer is, nobody knows. Matt Slaughter is Associate Dean at Dartmouth's Tuck School of Business.
In principle and in practice, we really have no history or protocols as a country for how the United States Treasury might go about prioritizing payments to ensure that our creditors get paid. There's no laws that dictate how this could happen. There's no regulations that have been written.
For example, would the government send out Social Security checks, or would it sign off on aid to Ethiopia, Kenya, or Colombia? Would we help Israel, or send checks to American men and women in uniform? Matt Slaughter and other analysts are willing to hazard a guess.
It's not hard to imagine a lot of people in Washington, D.C., especially elected officials, might worry about going home to their districts and explaining to constituents why they didn't get their Social Security checks, but why we pay the United Nations.
Well, if the debt limit is not raised and the government has a choice between sending out Social Security checks or sending out foreign aid payments to Egypt or Pakistan, I would bet that the Social Security checks get top priority.
I would imagine that foreign assistance would rank relatively near their bottom of their priorities.
Those last two voices were Brian Riley at the Heritage Foundation and then Stuart Patrick at the Council on Foreign Relations. Patrick says it's not hard to understand why things like foreign poverty alleviation or agricultural development overseas get low billing.
The reasons are pretty self-explanatory. One of them is that there are many military installations spread throughout congressional districts as well as defense contractors. When it comes to foreign assistance, it's much less clear how this immediately benefits members of Congress to vote for foreign assistance, which can easily be tarred as pouring money down a rat hole. And this has been a perennial issue in U.S. foreign policy.
Brian Riley at the Heritage Foundation says the pressure to cut foreign spending will only mount.
And this is going to occur whether we increase the debt limit or not. There's going to be attention paid to foreign aid programs. That could be what we traditionally think about as foreign aid. There's going to be pressure to look at the State Department's budget. There's going to be pressure on all the international agencies that the United States belongs to, as with all federal spending programs.
Just last week, House Republicans proposed slashing payments to the United Nations and other international bodies. If the bill passes the House, it's expected to be dead on arrival in the Senate. Still, the Republicans might get their way. If the U.S. government can't come up with the money to pay all its bills, countries that rely on American foreign aid will have plenty of reason to worry. For The World, I'm Jason Margolis.